All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the session on SNAP. My name is Jens, and with me is my colleague and friend, Jatka. We're here to present SNAP, Build Your Own Blocks, but it's not just Jatka and me who are working on SNAP. We're just the ones presenting it today. There's a larger community and more people involved. There's Bernat Romagosa down there. There's Simon Walters from the SNAP community here. There's John Maloney, Turgut Gunesu. The whole Blocks gang is here, and all of those have been more or less also involved in the development of SNAP. I've brought also Alonzo, who's very involved in SNAP, our mascot. I keep saying this for people who might not have heard it before. Every once or so often we get somebody who says, take down SNAP, it's a copy of Scratch. And so I just want to point out, yes, you know, this is also a mascot on Scratch. It's called Gobo in Scratch. And we're friends with the Scratch team, and we're allowed to use Gobo. And our friend and collaborator, co-author Brian Harvey, mutated Gobo with this funny haircut that, of course, everybody in this room knows about. It's a lambda, so SNAP is Scratch on Lambda. This is what it's about. It's about building your own blocks. And so what Jatka and I are planning for today is kind of not so much a talk as a demo. It's a walk, it's a lab visit, and we'd like to invite you to a visit of our lab. So when we say SNAP, the title is Build Your Own Blocks. It used to be called BYOB, for Build Your Own Blocks, until some parents in the US who didn't have a sense of humor decided that it also means something else, like bring your own bottle. Usually there's alcohol in it, and the implication that there is alcohol might entice children to try it, so we had to give it a different name. And so this is why it's called SNAP. We're still calling it Build Your Own Blocks, but to us, and what we'd like to show you today, it is as much about learning to code or learning about technology, then it is about building one's own mind, about learning something about society, about the surroundings, about the environment. And we'd like to kind of give you a little overview of not just our technology, but also our pedagogy. So just very quickly, this is SNAP. How many of you know SNAP or have used SNAP? Okay, about one third. So just very quickly, I'm just going to show you. So in SNAP, one thing that we have, when you open it, this is kind of pure vanilla SNAP. You can, here's a block. You can move something. You can also kind of stick blocks together like these puzzle pieces. There are different kind of categories with control structures. You have kind of these control structures. This is a repetition. So when you have kind of four times this and you click on this, everything is live, it moves. You can see what it does. You can, you have a drawing pen. You can get the pen down, pen up. So now you can draw a square. And always the question is how you get rid of it. So there's a clear block. You can click on these things. You don't really have to think that much ahead to do something. And it's called Build Your Own Blocks because you can build your own blocks. So you can make a new block. I want to make a block in the motion category. It's a square block, and it has as input a size. It's really hard to build a block with one hand. And so I'm getting this editor. I can say the size should be an input, should be kind of a number. So now I can say, oh, this part is this thing that makes a square. I can drag this in here, and the size is an input, and I can say the size is how much it should move. So now I've made my own block. Wait, did I make my own block? or did it? Oh, look at it. It didn't work. Okay, see, this is the fun of doing it with one hand. Okay, you guys, this is a collaborative coding environment. Let's try this again. I need to even make size on input again. As we were just hanging out with a bunch of teachers who said that repetition is the mother of all learning, so now I have the square block. Let's try to make a square of 100 again. And it works. And then we can do things like, now we can build around this. We can say, okay, let's do, you know, let's clear this, and let's maybe say, okay, I times 10. We also want to turn a little bit, maybe 36. And we can kind of build things. This is kind of the technology part that isn't really new. It's great, we love it. But the thing is that we want to build blocks, but we also want to build ourselves. We want to interact with our surroundings. And so we want to look at data, we want to look at the world, and through programming, as I think Mitchell says it, learn to program and program to learn. But not just learn about technology, but learn about something else. So here's a little example that a while ago John and I were also working on, and we were thinking about how we could express things that are really important. And here's a little puzzle you can make. If you're an educator, you can kind of make a project and give it to your students. And in this project, I've downloaded a bunch of data from the internet, from GitHub. This is the data of the population data of 195 countries over a span from the year 1800 to today. Is the population development. It's a lot of data. I've also downloaded the life expectancy data. And for some periods there isn't one, but it's the life expectancy in each of these countries. And also the gross domestic product adjusted for inflation and broken down per person living in that country. And that might tell us something about life conditions and how life conditions in countries have evolved over time. And some of you who can read it probably already know this. Now, there's the Gapminder project by Hans Rosling. Who knows this? Gapminder. And so we thought, you know, it's great to work with this. It's great to look at it. And we thought it's also really great to use coding, not just to use it, but to interact with this data yourself. And so what we like to give people is an imperfect project that has something like, here is something that already has a slider built in, and you can configure that slider, kind of give it some numbers, and then it emits a broadcast, like the slider changed, and now we could say, okay, in this project, like when this receives the slider changed, we might want to, you know, hide it, and we might want to go to some coordinate, like go a little bit to the left and down, and we might want to set a color to something light and write the value of the slider. So we're going to query the value of the slider. But it should be big. Let's make it big. Probably at some point before, we also want to clear it. So now, as I move the slider, I'm getting a readout of the numbers, but I want it to be the numbers from 1800 until now, so I probably should have some kind of formula in here where I say it's not the value of the slider, but the value of the slider plus 17. 99 That's about as much math as I'm allowed to do. Okay, so now I have a sort of a timeline, an interactive timeline. And now I want to kind of map all of this data and sort of scatter it in there. So I'm going to make a new, I'm going to draw, actually, a new object. I'm going to use a vector pen and draw something like a... Oops. sorry. Draw just a little dot, which is about my drawing things. I'm going to call this a country. And a country is going to... I'm going to add another variable. That's just a name. So it's sort of a... Okay. And actually, I don't need to show that. And so when the green flag is pressed, I can, you know, just set the name to nothing. And actually, what I want to do is now I want to do something for all the countries. So I can take out, so if I look at all the countries, they're all in the first column. So I could say, okay, this is the first item of the columns of this table. And as you can see, it's always live. So these are all the countries. So I can loop through them. We can say for all of these, I want to make a new clone, so I'm telling a new clone, I just want to assign the name to whatever is in that list, right? And I want to do this really fast. I don't want to wait for it to take long. And when I'm done, I want to do something. I want to broadcast that something has changed, so I'm going to broadcast the slider change. And now what I want to do is, that, you know, when each of these clones receives the slider change, it should align itself to the data. And here's something that we're saying, build your own block. So here's a block that we made that you can already use. So we give this block that arranges a record. So the record here is indicated by the name. And we're selecting in these records, we are selecting kind of the year indicated, so which is dependent on our slider. It's the value of the slider. And so we want to map the wealth, kind of, you know, the money. We want to map that to the x-axis on a logarithmic scale. The life expectancy, we want to add map to the y-axis. And the size of the blob, of the bubble, we want to map to the population. And let's actually try this. You think this could work? Okay. Wait, I wanted to do one more thing. I wanted to make them a little transparent. So we could set the ghost effect to something like 60. So we see the ones that are underneath. Let's try this again. Yeah, okay. So here's a map of the world of 200 countries in the year 1800. And now we can see some interesting things. As we move the slider, we can see how the countries develop. We can see how life expectancy rises, how kind of things are distributed. Now, it would be fun to see which country is which, so we could also add some other interactive elements, like we could say, when I am, mouse entered, we could say, you know, say my name, okay, wait, say my name, and when I'm, again, and the mouse goes out, like when the mouse is departed, just stop saying whatever it's saying. Say nothing. Does it work? Yeah, we don't have to restart it. So this is China, the big thing. This is the US. And now we can do interesting things. Like now we know this big blob is China. We can see what happened to China. Whoops, here, there's a famine in the early 60s. Or we can look for other spectacular things like right at the beginning, like here in 1818, there's a problem in Tunisia, the last case of the Black Plague. And with all this data, it's already interesting now to use this and to use Google and to find out what happened at certain periods of time. For example, we can go, let's go to the early 20th century. here in 1904, the first genocide committed by Germans in Namibia of the 20th century. We can see how, oops, here you probably know this. It's not World War I. It's a drop in life expectancy almost everywhere except in Denmark.